In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to read once again the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, not because Mitchell didn't read it beautifully, but because I think it's very important. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. St. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, is bringing up something very important, but we perhaps should look back on the Church of Ephesus itself for a little background. It was Paul's second missionary journey that he first went to Ephesus, and it was a tough nut to crack. It was a huge, huge port. It was a very, very big center of commerce and trade, and just about any vice you could want could be found there. And in fact, Paul several times ran into difficulties with those who were not only opposing the gospel he was preaching, but was making fun of it. And what did he do in those instances? Knowing St. Paul, we might have thought, well, he would stand up to these people and just tell them off, but no, he didn't. He walked away. He was not going to let the gospel be dragged through the mud and let pearls be cast before swine. And he ended up spending just a few months there for his second missionary trip. On his third missionary journey, several years later, he spent a number of years in Ephesus and was able to actually continue the establishment of the seeds he had planted before with the perfection of the church that was there. It was still difficult. And in fact, in Acts chapters 19 and 20, you'll hear him talking about his time in Ephesus, the difficulties he faced, and the fact that there was even a riot at one point because of all this. It was a very, very difficult town for him. And of course, later on, we hear about his very moving farewell to the people of Ephesus, who all gathered around him, knowing that they would never see him again, as he himself told them. And so later on, he writes this wonderful epistle to the church in Ephesus, and was probably meant to be read in other churches in the nearby area too. But it was something that we're not sure exactly where it was written from. Most likely on one of his many sojourns to the slammer, where he was put in jail, because he did a lot of his writing while he was in jail. But he knew that there were difficulties in Ephesus. And his epistle is something that is very, very pastoral, and yet, like his epistle to the Corinthians, seems to shift its tone on a dime. In the epistle to the Ephesians, we hear about his wonderful teachings on marriage, for instance. And then just as suddenly, when we get to the middle of the sixth chapter, we hear the verse that was just read, the verses that were just read, when he talks all of a sudden about spiritual life and how spiritual life isn't just sitting under a shady tree on a summer day and thinking about how wonderful it is to see God in the clouds and in the plants and all these kinds of things. No, it wasn't anything like that. For St. Paul, spiritual life was warfare, and he speaks to us about it in such terms. We have to go back and think about what the Lord Himself said about the kingdom of heaven, that it suffered violence, and the violent take it by force, and that the Lord had not come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword, and that it would turn father against son and mother against daughter, and it would just wreck families. And he was very serious about this. But I think looking at these verses and looking at our lives here in this country, that the reason that the Orthodox Church has not grown and prospered more than it has is because we have not taken these verses to heart. Because spiritual warfare is something that is very, very much at the center, at the core of our Orthodox Christian life. It is something that we can't avoid, something that we have to struggle with from practically the moment that we are born until we take our last breath. And if we think about it in these terms, we can often get discouraged, because don't we, like other people, want to live the good life? Don't we want all the nice things of the world? Don't we want to do all the things that most people in the world want to do, that they get excited about? Isn't that the case? You know it is. I'm no different than you in that regard. We all think of life in those terms. We all look for the pleasantries. And the idea of being involved in some kind of warfare our entire lives really goes against the grain of what we've been taught in this country that the real, genuine life is all about. But it's not. And St. Paul lets us know this in no uncertain terms, speaking to us about spiritual life in terms of what we put on, our breastplate, our shields, our swords, what we put on our feet, that we are warring against spiritual wickedness in high places, that we are warring against an enemy that we can't even see, but yet seeks the destruction of all of us. If we were to take this seriously, and if we were to engage actively in this spiritual warfare every single moment of our lives, we would be an entirely new Christian people, and this would be an entirely new Christian country. But we don't do it. We shy away from it. We've been so used to hearing, so enamored with the idea of the gospel of peace, which it is, but not the peace that the world thinks that it is. We're so used to hearing about and seeing pictures of sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus, who seeks only our good, which is true, but it's not understood properly. That sweetest Jesus that wants to take us to heaven, which is true, but it's not understood properly, but ignores the idea that somehow there was a great burden put on us as well, that we are the ones that have to take up the sword of the Spirit that He gives us and slay the invisible enemies that are warring against all of us every moment of every single day. And you might think, well, how could that be? How can that reasonably be every moment of every day? Well, just think about what you're doing. Think about the next time you get into the car and somebody pulls in front of you, and all sorts of things come out of your mouth that we probably wouldn't hear here in church. Or the next time you're arguing with someone at work, or the next time some political figure says something that gets you so terribly upset, or the next time Alabama wins a football game. All of these sorts of things that get us so angered, that make us so mad, that get us so upset, not to even mention the fact that we may look down the pew and see something someone is doing, or the way they look, and we don't do it, so we judge them just like that, so quickly. I mean, you could hardly blink your eyes. The judgment comes so quickly. Where is that coming from? It's not necessarily coming from deep within us, where the Holy Spirit resides in our hearts. No, we are being tempted that quickly, that rapidly, on how to do all of these things that pull us away from God and make us, at least inside, someone who is condemnatory of other people, someone who is judgmental, someone who is not very caring. These temptations come at us with an amazing rapidity that we can't even begin to comprehend. But when you think about the number of demons in this invisible world that are swarming around us, even here, that are around us, we must also think of the number of guardian angels that surround us as well. We each have a guardian angel from the time of our baptism. And not just one angel, but thousands of angels are present at every divine liturgy, helping us to offer the sacrifice to God the Father. But the warfare is real. St. Seraphim of Sarov, when he was a deacon, he had a vision. And he had a vision once of at the great entrance of the liturgy of Christ walking up in the midst of the great entrance, and he walked into his icon and disappeared. And Father Seraphim looked around, and he saw an amazing thing that he would never forget. He saw some people that were absolutely glowing in their love for God, and other people in that same congregation, including the clergy, that were black as soot because their hearts were not cleaned. St. Seraphim saw visions of demons, as many of the fathers and mothers of the church did, and often discussed the hideous nature of what they stood for and what they looked like. They're not pretty. They're not little Halloween devils. They are as bad as you could possibly imagine. And they are whispering into your ear at every moment of the day. And if you're not prepared for it, if you are not readily engaged in this spiritual warfare, in this great battle that we all are fighting for our entrance into heaven, then you're not going to get there. Too many of us presume on the goodness of God. Well, I'm a terrible person. You know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But then I end up doing these things and, oh, you know, I just rely on the grace of God to get me through. Well, that's good. You should rely on the grace of God. But if you presume the mercy of God in the end, that's a great sin. That's a great sin. We should never go down that road to presume that somehow, no matter how bad we are, no matter what we do, if we don't try, if we don't engage in this spiritual warfare to work out our own salvation, that somehow we're going to get pulled into heaven at the last. It's not true. It's not going to happen. Our engagement is mandatory all the time. And it shouldn't be something frightful because the Lord has said, if you but cooperate with my grace, if you but respond to what is given to you, the demons will flee. What does he say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And this is what he's talking about. It's not as hard as we think. It's just something that we have to be engaged in. We must remember, even during the good times, especially during the good times, the happy times, the jovial times, that our spiritual warfare, that our spiritual radars are still up and running, and that we can sense when things are about to happen, and that we can then engage the devil and all his horrible demons and put them to flight. That's what St. Paul is saying here, because he had seen the warfare close up in Ephesus. He had seen the riots. He had seen the disturbances. He had seen the violence in this city. But yet he's not calling for violence back against them. No. He's emulating the Lord who turned the other cheek. He's saying instead, no. Put on your spiritual armor and be prepared. And if you are prepared, nothing's going to happen. The way of heaven will be open to you easily. Salvation's not a hard thing. It's not. It just takes a little bit of effort on our part. Just a little bit. And if we give that much to the Lord, He gives everything back to us. And then on that wonderful day, hopefully we will hear, well done, good and faithful servants. Amen.